You want to get your Bibles and turn to the book of James. We will continue our study there this morning. We're in James chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first part of this chapter, the first half of this chapter this morning. And again, a very, as is typical with the little book of James in the New Testament, as is typical of this book, a very practical section of Scripture, and a lot for us to be able to try to glean from it and to put into practice in our lives. Let's look at the last two verses of chapter 1. He really starts a new section when you get into chapter 2, but I think there's some tie into the end of chapter 1 as well. James chapter 1, starting verse 26, where he says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." James chapter 1, verse 27. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Now look in James chapter 2, verse 1. "My brethren," this is the New King James, "my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Do not hold it, do not have it, do not keep it. He says you've got faith. You have faith in Christ. You are living the Christian life. The faith that you have in Christ has caused you to live for Christ, to give your life to Him. But the command from God in the first part of this chapter, do not hold the faith that you have in Christ with partiality. What does that mean? Respect of persons. Do not have, do not show personal favoritism. Do not show partiality. Do not have respect of persons where you regard or respect or uphold one person above another. Is that hard to do sometimes? Is it hard not to show favoritism? Is it hard not to show partiality? You know, there's some parts of Scripture that when we read them, you know, we think, well, that's obvious, and we might read right over this whole section. But God gives 13 verses in this book. James chapter 2, the first 13 verses. He dedicates 13 verses to discuss this matter of partiality and favoritism. And it's not that God says it would be better if you didn't do this, or your life would be so much more beneficial if you wouldn't do this. This is a command from God. The do not hold, do not have, it's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. You know, it's the same thing when we read, when the Bible says, do not worry. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry. Those are commands. We think, well, it would be better. My life would be happier, more beneficial if I wouldn't worry. But God's not offering suggestions here. These are commands of God. Do not hold it with partiality. Does God show partiality? Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 says that there is no partiality with God. None. Did Peter learn that in Acts chapter 10? When Peter was sent to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, was he hesitant initially? To say the least. And Peter learned a lesson from God in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Peter said, "I perceive in truth," the Old King James says, "that God is no respecter of persons." New King James says that God shows no partiality. But, verse 35 says, "Whoever," doesn't matter who it is, "whoever fears Him and works righteousness, God will accept him." So, God says, do not show, do not give partiality towards others. Who's our greatest example of that? God Himself. Jesus Himself. if we want to be acceptable to God, we've got to draw ourselves closer to God and strive to become like God. And God does not demand anything of us that He Himself does not practice. Do not show partiality or personal favoritism. Verse 2. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel. What does that say about this person? He's well off. Dirk? Oh, absolutely. Well, let's look at this. If Romans 2 and verse 11 says there is no partiality with God, if Peter learned in Acts 10 and verse 34, in truth, God shows no partiality. Are those statements true? They're in the Bible, right? It's statements that are made that God shows no partiality. Are those statements true? Yes. Now, what does that mean? Would that transfer over, and would it mean that if God shows no partiality, then God is going to accept everyone into heaven? Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, God is going to accept everyone into heaven because He doesn't show any partiality towards them. Don? Say it again. That would be showing partiality. How so?
Obedience.
Does God... We're looking at one part of the nature of God. Go ahead, Johnny, and I'll come back to the nature of God.
Obeying God's commandments or not obeying God's commandments is not a matter of partiality.
Yes. Obedience is on our part, is a decision that we make. The nature of God is such that God shows no partiality. He shows no personal favoritism. Put that in the context of what we're talking about. If God showed partiality, if He showed favoritism, if God was a respecter of persons, then when He sent His Son to die on the cross, who would He have died for? He would have died only for the people that God wanted Him to die for. If God showed partiality, isn't that true? If God showed personal favoritism, then Jesus is only going to die for the people that God wants Him to die for. In fact, it would make even better sense, perhaps, that Jesus would only die for and shed His blood for those people whom God chose to be saved. Because if God chose certain people to be saved, then that would be showing partiality towards them. And so Jesus would only die for them because that would only make sense if God's going to be a respecter of persons. But is that the case? In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all. He gave Himself a ransom for all. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says that He tasted death for everyone. When Jesus died on the cross and He shed His blood, He shed it so that who could be saved? Everybody. Now, is everybody saved? No. Has everybody been washed by the blood of Jesus that He shed on the cross? Well, why not? Because they make their choice. And when they make, when you and I, when people in general and when you and I in particular, when we make our choice to obey or not to obey, it is not then God showing partiality towards me. It is my decision whether I am obedient. Now, we've talked about the nature of God and the nature of God being such that He shows no partiality. The nature of God is such that God cannot lie. That's just, it's against His nature. It's not a choice that He's made. It just violates His nature. It's not going to happen. We can talk about the nature of God and the nature of God being that God cannot look on sin. He cannot be associated with sin. This very book in James chapter 1, verse 13 says that God does not deal with evil. He doesn't tempt man with evil. The verse says that God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God has no association with evil. Cannot look upon it. His holy eyes cannot see it. And he's separated from it. That's his nature. That's not a decision that God has made. He didn't have to make the decision. Because he is holy, because he is the almighty holy God, it just violates who he is. Now, all of that being said, he sent his son to die on the cross for every person. That's not showing partiality. That's not showing respect of persons. And he's also said, Acts 10 and verse 35, the verse after Peter said that God shows no partiality, the very next verse says, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Who's accepted? Whoever fears him and works righteousness. What if I don't fear God and don't work righteousness? Then what? I'm not accepted by God. Well, is that him showing favoritism? No. That's God laying down a law. The law in this land, our Constitution, the law that the police enforce. Is it showing favoritism to me to not throw me into jail when they throw a murderer or a thief or a drunkard into jail? Isn't it showing favoritism towards me not to throw me into jail? Isn't that favoritism? Well, that's not fair. You're not throwing David into jail. Is that favoritism? No. Because there's a law that is in place. Now, come back to the other thing that Dirk mentioned. When God looks down at this earth and he sees his people, his children, those who are obedient to him, and he sees those who are outside of Christ, those who have rejected him, those who want nothing to do with him and do not obey him. God sees two different groups of people. Let's put them into groups. God sees these two different groups of people. Does God show favoritism? Does he show partiality? Does he show respect of persons to one group over another? Okay. 2 Peter 3, 9 says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Gary?
But I'm going to say no, because he's not showing favor to standards. So I'm going to say no. I don't think he may want me to say yes, but I'm going to say no.
Well, no. The question was, here's God's people, and those who are not God's people. Does God show favoritism? Does he show partiality? If you say yes, you have just said that Romans 2:11, Acts 10:34, and other verses are wrong. Now, Gary's exactly right. Imagine that. Gary's exactly right that God has laid out his plan. God's laid out his plan. He's given the law. He's given the rules. If I live by the rules in this nation, if I live by the rules, am I going to have, am I going to be treated better? Am I going to have better things than those who break the law? We're going to talk about breaking the law and as we get through this chapter. God has laid out the rules, and he has made promises. He has made promises of great and wonderful things to those who are obedient. If I choose not to obey, I throw away all of those promises. But if I choose to obey, he has given these promises to me. When Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says that in Christ are all spiritual blessings. Well, how come those people outside of Christ don't have spiritual blessings? That's not fair. Isn't that being partial? No. That's the law of God being laid out. And he says, over here, if you want to obey, if you want to do what I say, these are the things that belong unto you. Is there, in the mind of God, is there a special place for his people? Is there a special dose of the providence of God for his people? Yes. Is that showing partiality? That's God laying out the rules. Let me put it in that. Any of you have kids? Surely you've never shown partiality to your kids, right? I mean, that's a major parental rule breaker, right? You're not supposed to show favoritism, partiality to your... You're not supposed to have one who's a favorite. And if you do, for sure don't let them know, right? Or don't let the other one know that they're not the favorite. If you lay out rules for your children, there's a curfew. There are chores. You know what I noticed growing up? I had a little sister growing up. You know what I noticed about my little sister? She didn't have to follow the rules. That's not fair. We have all of these rules. My older sisters and I had all of these rigid rules, and we were beaten profusely, and not really, but I'm just making all that up. But we had rules, and we followed those rules. And then little, spoiled, don't have to follow the rules, daddy's little girl, sister comes along. Curfew, oh, that doesn't matter. You know, go and do whatever you want. Yeah, that's fine. Get good grades, it doesn't matter. Do the chores around the house. Oh, you're the princess. You don't have to do anything, right? Wait a minute. Is that showing partiality? Is that showing favoritism? If you change the rules for somebody, or you just ignore the rules for somebody, that's favoritism. Is God ignoring rules? If God were to ignore His laws for somebody, would that be showing favoritism? If God were to change the laws, well, you know, it's a little too hard. You know, Mike's having a hard time following these rules, so I'm gonna tweak these rules a little bit just for Mike, because I like Mike, and so God likes Mike, and so God's gonna twist the rules for Mike so that he can get into heaven because he's having a hard time with some. Would that be favoritism if he didn't twist those rules for you? Yes, Sherrick. That's right. We're saved by the grace of God. It's a gift of God. Yes, we're saved by His mercy. And that's where James is going in this section. That's where James is going when you get to verses 12 and 13, especially in chapter 2. He talks about mercy. And guess what? Do we need the mercy of God in order to be saved? Yes. Or is there anyone who doesn't need the mercy of God? Every last one of us. All right, Dirk. We get to make that choice. When 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, but you, Y-O-U, but you, the church, these Christians, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Well, why do they get to be God's special people? Because they have obeyed the commandments of God. All right, come back to James chapter 2. Thanks for the question, Dirk. James chapter 2, verse 2. If somebody comes in, they got rings, not just one or two rings, they're full of rings. So there were some people in Bible times, they'd wear rings on every finger, five or six rings on every finger. Comes in with rings and fine apparel. What does that mean? Where's he been shopping? Oh, he's looking good. If somebody were to walk into the assembly, all of these rings, all of these nice clothes, what does that say about that person? Do I want to know what you said, Pete? I don't know if I want to know what Pete said. I probably don't. Is this guy well off? Is he rich? That's how he's being portrayed here. And yet, at the same time, in this same assembly, verse 2, there comes a man in who the Bible describes as a poor man. And this isn't just any poor man. The word that's used here for poor is the word that's used for a beggar. Doesn't mean that he just is not as well off. In comparison, he's poor compared to the other guy. This is a guy in severe poverty. This is a guy that is a beggar. Both of these men walk into the assembly. I want you to be honest. If this were to happen today, and put aside the fact of the rings and the fine apparel, somebody walks in, finely dressed, nicely clean and groomed, and they look good. And another person comes in, and it's obvious they don't have the kind of clothes that this person does. And it's obvious that maybe their clothes have not been washed as frequently as this other person has. It's obvious that this person may not have bathed as often as this other person has. And you put these two people side by side. Which one are we going to gravitate towards? You know the answer. Why is that? Why is it that we're going to gravitate towards the one that looks better? Why do we do that? Favoritism? Why do some people show favoritism towards somebody who's got lots of rings and lots of nice clothes and lots of money? Say again? All right. Making a judgment. Why do they make that judgment? Sometimes you think, well, if I'm nice to a rich person, he may, you know, he might be rich towards me. He might be nice back. Verse 3. What do? These two men walk in and you pay special attention. You show favor to the one wearing the fine clothes and you say to him, oh, come here. You sit here in a good place. They get the place of prestige, the seat of honor. Oh, you come over here. We're going to treat you nice. We're going to treat you royally because we want you to come back. And when that collection plate comes around, we want you to contribute. And we want you to come back next week. And we just like you. We're going to treat you really nice. Oh, but this other person? You go stand over there. You don't even get a seat. Just go stand. I don't care where you stand. Just go stand over there. Or if you've got to sit down, come and sit down next to where I put my feet. Do we treat people differently? Maybe we don't come right out in that bold sense to say, you sit in a high place and you just go away. Maybe we don't say that with our mouths. Do we say it with our actions? More importantly, can God see our heart and how we are reacting? God says in verse 1, do not hold your faith. You're a Christian. Do not hold the faith that you have with partiality. Verse 4, if they come in and you say, you sit in the nice place, you go stand over there, have you not made a difference? Have you not made a distinction? Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges? Is it wrong to judge people? Well, that's a can of worms, isn't it? But these are judges with evil thoughts. What are the evil thoughts? What's so evil about the thoughts? Okay, you're judging them without any information. You are showing partiality. Why do people show partiality? Is there a sense of selfishness? Is there a sense of what makes us comfortable or maybe what makes us uncomfortable? Why after four children, picking on my parents this morning, why after four children did my parents show partiality to the fourth child? They were tired. My two older sisters and I had worn them out. You get to the fourth one and it's like, you know, just eat and have something to drink and go to school and we don't care about the rest. I'm kidding, okay? But they're... Right. I'm sure that's it. Wow. Somebody's trying to get on the good side this morning. So, why does that happen? Why show partiality? Well, maybe because they're tired. Maybe because for whatever reasons. Why do we show partiality? God says you're making a distinction, but you've become judges. You become judges with evil thoughts. Listen, verse 5. Yo. Thanks, Dirk. Well, every indication here is we don't know much more about these men. We don't know anything more about these men than what's here in the context. The indication is that they are visiting the assembly. They're not regular attenders. They just show up, and you might not know any. You don't know anything else about them except for how they look, what they've got on, how they're dressed. Pat?
The old adage is you don't judge a book by its cover.
Yep, the old adage is you don't judge a book by its cover. But we do that, don't we? I mean, we look at the cover of the book. We look at the clothes that are on them. And, okay, we make a judgment. Johnny?
This may sound a little weird, but you got to be careful.
Yep, and
partiality applies both ways. The,
absolutely. Partiality goes both ways. And you cannot, you've got to be aware of that, but let's look at the text. Don't have much time here. Look at verse 5. Listen, he says, pay attention to this, my beloved brethren. Has God not, here's what God has done. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? God, what? God chose those people who are poor to be rich in faith? What does that mean? Why does he didn't choose the rich to be rich in faith? Okay. He doesn't say all of the poor. Has he not chosen the poor to be rich in faith? Say again. Sure.
I look at it this way. Both of them have souls to be saved.
Absolutely. Both of them, rich, poor, male, female, bond, free, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. They have a soul that needs to be saved. And that's the point. That's the whole point about partiality. It's the whole point about Jesus dying for everyone. He didn't show partiality on the cross. It's the point of our responsibility to each other. Each one has a soul to be saved. Why is it that when you go to poor countries, that people are seem to be more receptive to the gospel in poor countries than they do in wealthy countries? Why is that? Say again. Because they see their need for God. They're not distracted by riches. Don? Those who have riches, that's what they trust in sometimes, some of them. But those who are poor oftentimes look at their relationship with God and their need for God even more. God has chose these to be rich in faith, to be heirs of the kingdom, the eternal kingdom that he's promised. But, verse 6, that's what God has done in verse 5, but you... What have you done? You've dishonored the poor man. You've degraded him. You've shown contempt to him. And I wish we had time to go back to the book of Proverbs. Go and read the book of Proverbs. Look up the word poor in the book of Proverbs. Look up the word poverty in the book of Proverbs. There's at least a dozen Proverbs that deal with how we treat those who are poor. You have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you? They lord it over you. They drag you into the courts. Do they not blaspheme? That's in the present tense. They're continually over and over and over again blaspheming and slandering the noble name by which you are called. What noble name is that? The name of Christ. Aren't there those out there who are blaspheming over and over and slandering the name of Christ, the name that you're wearing? Why would you show them partiality? Verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law. Why is this called the royal law? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. God calls that the royal law. Why would he call that the royal law? It's one of the most important. When they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God. The second is like unto it. You shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Here's a law. It's given by a king. Does that make it royal? It's given to be fulfilled in his kingdom by his subjects. Does that make it royal? When you look at the commandments that we are given to how to treat each other, can they all be summed up in love your neighbor as yourself? If you do this, he says, if you obey, if you keep this law, verse 8, if you keep this law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But, verse 9, if you show partiality, this is the verb form of the noun that was back in verse 1. The word literally means, you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, you look at the Old Testament, it means the same thing in the Old Testament does in the New Testament. Literally means that you receive their face. If you show partiality, it means you are receiving someone's face. Your face receiving. What does that mean? As you're making decisions. You're choosing actions based upon who the person is. What's the name of this? Lady Justice? Why does Lady Justice have a, what's her name? Whatever that is. Why does she have a blindfold on? Why is there a blindfold over her eyes? Because justice is supposed to be blind. It's not based upon who's at this table and who's at this table, who has what lawyer. It's not based upon who has what money that can pay off this. It's not based upon who has good friends. Justice is supposed to be blind. Our treatment of others is therefore supposed to be blind. We're not supposed to receive face. It's as if we need to close our eyes, close our ears, and go down a path not based upon what a person has, but based upon other than the fact that they have a soul. If you show partiality, you commit sin. I don't think God could make it any plainer, could he? He commands us in verse 1, do not hold your faith with partiality. He gets down in verse 9 and he says, if you choose to disobey this command, if you disobey any of God's commands, it's a sin, isn't it? But he chooses to point out to say, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. Yes, sir.
Between those two verses,
right. Absolutely. And we need to close with this. But Gary's point is exactly right, that you start in verse 1, do not show partiality. Verse 9, if you show partiality, you commit sin. He's talking about the rich and the poor and how we show partiality in the verse in between. But if we show partiality in any other areas of life, folks, if we show partiality based upon race, that's sin. And as Johnny said about the rich towards the poor, that goes both ways. Partiality is not just a one-way street based upon who's... It's partiality that goes both ways. And if we show favoritism towards race or economic status or male or female or whoever, we commit sin. Hey, Marion. Yep, that's right. That's been 30 years where we had a guy who purposefully came and dressed up in rags and tried to see how this congregation would treat him. And fortunately, we were on a good day, and and we treated him like Christ would, and that changed his life. He was not a member of the church, but that changed his life. Never know, do you? We've got to do this. I'm sorry, we're over time, and we got people just waiting to get in here. So.